Let me ask you this. When I say the word teen, what do you think about?
Teen?
Teen.
Teen.
Like the 49ers. The 49ers. In other words, teen.
Yeah, sports. That's what I think about.
I think about a group of people working together towards the same goal.
Yeah, I think that we're collaborating.
Synchronization.
Collaboration.
Synchronization.
Yeah. What about when I say family?
That's a big deal.
Togetherness.
Together.
Yeah. Love.
Yeah. Discord.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dysfunction.
What about when I say community?
Neighbors.
Neighbors.
Yeah.
Togetherness. Yeah,
there's
term there. School.
Sympathy.
Okay. Let me ask this. How many of you have built community with God recently? Or have been building community with God in their walk with God?
Yeah.
First of all, do you know what a community is? What's a community defined as?
I think of like shared interests.
Shared circumstances.
Together. Being together. Communing.
Dictionary and see what the dictionary defined a community as. And a community is defined as a unified body of individuals. Now, Matthew 18:20 says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. So there is a community with God. Now, Sydney talked about, we're going to be talking about building community with God today. Next week, Donald's going to be talking about building community with family. Next week, after that, Scott's going to be talking about building community with the church. And finally, Sydney's going to be talking about building community with the lost. But here, we're building the foundation. The very foundation of community with God. Because if you don't have community with God by yourself, you can't contribute to that community with your family. You cannot contribute to that community with the church. And you certainly cannot contribute to that community with the lost. And see, this is a lesson I had to learn when there was a community of four of us here in Jackson. Over 20 years ago, I had to learn what it took to have a relationship with a community with God. Because see, when I was back in Nashville, we lived in an apartment complex where we were blessed to where there was about almost a dozen disciples that lived in the complex. And we all knew each other. So it was like a feast. You know, we could go to each other's houses and talk, fellowship, whatever. I mean, in Nashville, I had so many connections that I called people and they'd answer the phone for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'd be able to talk, share discipling times together, whatever. But when we came to Jackson and everything changed, I didn't have that feast anymore. I had famine. Those same brothers that I had relationships with, I call their voicemail, and guess what? They never returned it. They never picked up the phone when I called. So where I had that feast of knowledge, so where I could have had time talking to brothers and sisters about God and what was going on in my life, I was in a desert for a while. So I had to learn the hard way, but in a good way, how to build community with God. Because in Psalm 27, it talks about, though my mother and my father will forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You know, man will fail us. I love Nora to death, but there's days she's going to fail me. Those that are married, your spouse is going to fail you. We as a church, there's a day where somebody's going to drop the ball. I forgot the mic today, so I'm talking a little bit louder. So what does it take to build community with God? We're going to talk about it, and this is what I've learned through my quiet times and things that I did with talking with other brothers, but also my personal dealings with God. The first thing it takes to build community with God is core biblical principles. You know, you need biblical principles to have a foundation in your walk with God. The next thing you need is practical steps and virtues. And the reason you need practical steps and virtues is because you need something solid to build your foundation on. You know, when you build your house, you're certainly not going to use bamboo. You're going to use the best materials. You're going to use concrete. You're going to use bricks. You're going to use steel. You're going to use wood. You're going to use stuff that lasts. And finally, you're going to wrap it all up with developing the character. And developing character is about your community with God. Developing what Todd's relationship with God is, what Donald's relationship with God is, what Sydney's relationship with God is, what Richard's relationship with God is. Now we're going to start about talking about the core biblical principles. And we're going to use the example of Abraham when we talk about the core biblical principles. Now, Abraham walked with God and continued to live rooted up and built up in God. And Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been firmly rooted up now, being built up in him, and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You know, Abraham waited for the promised son for 25 years until Isaac was born. Now, don't forget, Abraham was 75 when he was called. He was also promised a son at the age of 75, if you remember. This long wait is often highlighted as a test of faith. But he walked in Christ and continued to live rooted up and built up to God. You know, what do you think about when you read this scripture about Abraham and his walk?
Well, it takes a lot of character to the right kind of character. I guess we all have character, whether it's good or bad. It takes a lot of good character to continue to trust that God is working for your best interest, that God has you at heart, and when you don't see the results you're thinking of, you should have.
Anybody else?
I think also the right understanding of who he is versus who God is too. I think it's definitely humility to have that kind of walk.
Yeah.
And understanding, I mean, just the right understanding of who God is.
Yeah, it does take intentionality. You know, he said, Abraham also added to his faith. You know, 2 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, you know, by building a chain of virtues, faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. You know, but Abraham also renewed his mind actively. And all these scriptures that I have with slides, Abraham lived out. He lived out Ephesians 4, verses 22-24. Putting off your old self and putting on the new self. Even though Abraham was 75 years old when he started walking with God, he walked with God for 100 years because he died at the age of 175. So with all the covenants, you know, with the sacrifice of Isaac, you know, where the journey took 3 days, a period of significant contemplation and trust, you know, not a month-long event, where Abraham also put on the armor of God by preparing daily to stand against the spiritual battles. You know, he did this for 100 years through the covenants that God made, through the times that God came to him. Abraham was constantly walking with God. His character was constantly changing. You know, looking at the life of Abraham and the core biblical principles, you know, what sticks out to you about Abraham? In his walk.
I think about his obedience.
Yeah, he was very obedient.
I think that to walk with God for 100 years is incredible focus and probably a lot of repentance, because I mean nobody does it flawlessly. We're always needing repentance, and I'm sure he did too.
Anybody else?
also saw just kind of stating that and looking at Abraham and walking with God for so many years that he was not a perfect man, but he was a man of faith and he obeyed. And I think that sometimes, you know, we try to make ourselves perfect before God, and that's not what he's really looking for. More so he's looking for our obedience and our being faithful, because he can guide us into, you know, the other directions that we need to go. But I feel that Abraham was a man of obedience, and he had faith that he believed God, and that he took God at his word. Not that he didn't fault or anything, but I felt like he's a good example when you want to look at someone who is just taking God at his word, you know, because we can look at the example you have about Isaac, you know, who wants to take their only son, you know. He did have another son, but we know when we say only son, the son by his marriage. And we want to, you know, and take him up. And he waited for this son for so long, but he trusted God, even in his conversation, that we'll be back. And so I think he is an example of just trusting God and just taking God at his word, even in his not being a perfect person, a perfect human. You know, he was a person that had great faith, and he believed God.
What I thought about was when you shared that is, he's over 100 years old, but he has the heart of a child.
Yep.
And how, you know, Jesus, you know, I think he said, right, that it's the children that are going to inherit the kingdom of God.
Yep.
And that's you have how many over 100 or, you know, older have that heart of a child to just, you know, hey, I may not understand, but I'll do it because you say so.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
You know, some of the core biblical principles, these are kind of baby stuff that we take to build our foundation to where first we walk in God. And the challenge is to continue to live rooted and built up in God. The next step is to add to our faith daily. Then renew our minds actively. You know, get in the Word. Have quiet time. Have some quality discussions with brothers or sisters. But also, putting on the whole armor of God by preparing daily to stand against spiritual battles. You know, those corporate biblical principles, you might think, well, why am I talking about this to start off about building community with God? Because we've got to have a foundation. We've got to have a solid foundation in our walk with God. We can't have any holes. Because in Deuteronomy 4, God says, I'm a jealous God. He's an all-consuming fire. Meaning he wants it all. He wants our best. So to give him our best, these are some principles that I haven't learned. Have had to come up that I've actually lived in order to have walked with God. And I'm sharing this to help you guys. Because, you know, it's a new year. You know, I'm trying to renew your minds on how to have walked with God. Next thing we're going to talk about is the practical steps of virtues, and we're going to use Jesus as we talk about his walk with God. You know, first off, Luke 5:16 says, yet he frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. You know, but Jesus shows us with study and meditation, but also with prayer, where there's a communication with God consistently, seeking His guidance. You know, Jesus is constantly in the Word, constantly talking with God. You know, it may sound funny, but I go tripping around the house sometimes, especially when Nora's not home. I may walk around the house and I saw my dog. God blew it. Or something happens to where I may have said something across to Nora under my breath. Boy, I blow it. That's my communication with God. My communication with God is not limited to prayer. You know, and you can see scriptures that go with it. I've got scriptures to help you that I found helpful. And to anybody who wants, I'll actually forward this PowerPoint to them. But Matthew 14:23, Jesus, after feeding the 5,000, he went to the mountainside to pray. Now here Jesus shows love and compassion, but also humility and service. As Jesus loves his enemies, bless those who curse them, because there were enemies in there that ate with them. Not everybody was friends with Jesus. I mean, let's be real. But he also showed tenderness, but he did not act out of selfish ambition and consider others more significant than him. You know, how hard is that for us to do? I know for me, it's taken a while to get that way because I did have bitterness toward people in Nashville because of the fact that I could not get what I needed at the time. And there were times that I just wouldn't come so much from Nashville. But now I'm at the point that I pray for my brothers and sisters in Nashville. And the sad thing is, the last time me and Nora went back to...
I don't know. I think that's kind of what he's still doing today. I think it's just like a visual of the way that he continues to feed people or give us, like with the word, even before people make a decision to follow him. But it definitely shows his love, his compassion and patience for us. It's still here.
I think it's kind of remarkable that Jesus, the Son of God, needed so much prayer. And then when you think about it a little bit more, well, it just stands to reason because he's just talking to his Father. And that's what, I think that's where we want to end up in our relationship with God, is that it's just so natural that because he's our Father, we're his child.
Yeah, and I also think about that in that crowd, there probably were people that just went for just to kind of see what they have heard about, you know, see the sort of spectacle in a sense, and not really be in there to learn, but to be there. But God, you know, but Jesus didn't care about that.
The
need than anything else. And we all need him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's this, you remember the musical Jesus Christ Superstar?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a stupid film. I didn't like it at all. You know, just because there was one point where Jesus is, you know, people are coming to him and he's saying, there's just too many, there's just too many. I always bothered that because I look at that and Jesus is so connected with God, he could have been twice his name. and that their needs would have been met.
But Jesus was tempted in every way we were, so he probably wouldn't respond the way that in that movie, but I'm sure he had to have felt overwhelmed. He had to have felt lonely. Mm-hmm. He's been through, he's endured everything we have, and yet it's without sin.
One of the things that really stands out to me is he appeared to be up on that mountainside praying by himself for about 12 hours. He went up there in the evening, and then it was almost dawn when he went to started towards the boat. And shortly before dawn, and he most likely went up before sundown. And depending on what time year this was, and then they come very early, so a good 10 to 12 hours up there praying. That's one of the things that I always had a problem with, like the leadership out in LA, that they're all talking about, oh, we went out and prayed for 6 hours today, and I was lucky to get 30 minutes and a job and everything else. Then finally, I was kind of bitter about it, but then it finally dawned on me, this gentleman had been paid. So he was up there for a really long time.
You know, some other qualities of Jesus that I found very important were integrity, generosity, self-control, and gratitude. You know, what do you think about that?
The integrity is so evident, because he expected the same from everybody. He didn't play favorites. You look at Judas in the midst, and he treated him just like he treated others. It's pretty remarkable.
That self-control, I don't understand. Still, I don't understand it. You know, he had the power to do whatever he wanted to do, and he chose what he wanted to do, which was die on that cross. And that's self-control. I mean, pain to decide, I'm going to love people who are killing him right now. Mm-hmm. I still don't understand it. I mean, I'm not there. It's amazing.
You know, Jesus had reasons for solitude in his community with God. I'm sorry. But Jesus had reasons for solitude in his community with God. Some include preparation, rest, renewal, and clarity and guidance. Now, do you have any similar reasons for solitude? I know for me, I need time to prepare sometimes, like for example, sermons or discussions. You know, I need time to be alone. You know, and I definitely need my rest, because sometimes it's a wrestle sometimes. Sometimes I think I have the right idea as far as what I'm going to put on this paper, but there's so many times that I'm hitting the backspace because God put something else there.
And lot there. And he has, he's a beautiful thing when you, not that I'm perfect at it, but he's a beautiful thing when you're no longer doing it because you want to be away. But it gives you that moment to think about where you are at and where, you know, what you need to do to be better for the people around you, your community, your husband, your children, yourself. And it's kind of changes everything. And so, you know, people now ask me, have you really been for that? Why, you know, why do you give so much? And it's because I learned, not only in those times, but I also am married to a man that wants to be with people. He loves that. And I changed. I need both those needs.
I need solitude when I'm, I have a lot of trouble focusing if there's noise going on around me. And when I was young, people, my friends all wanted music on while they're reading or doing schoolwork. And I can't do that. I can't read when there's people having a conversation or anything like that. So I need my solitude so I can have time with God. I can't do it. Not, I can't do it well. I don't feel any connection. I don't do it by myself.
Yeah. And people, some people think when you're having a solitude, you're not doing anything. I think just we're processing.
You know, look. I'm sorry. I
was just going to say I want to piggyback on what Donald said. I agree with what Donald was saying in reference to just having time for solitude. I need silence when I'm trying to study and read and stuff like that. So I appreciate my times of solitude.
You know, looking back at these practical steps and virtues that I've got highlighted, you know, study, meditation, prayer, love and compassion, humility and service, you know, integrity, generosity, self-control, and gratitude. Those are the beams, those are the girders that make this house solid. And as I'm building my house, as I'm building my community with God, they're solid foundations. Study and meditation is me listening to God, but also prayer. I'm talking to God. But the thing is, I can't see God, can I? When I'm talking, it's like I'm praying to you guys. When you guys talk, it's almost like I'm meditating on what you have. And most of the times I am meditating on what you have to say. And that's something I had to learn on my own. You know, humility, you know, that's something, humility and service, you know, that's something I learned as an usher in my early days as a disciple. Love and compassion, that's something that has just grown me in the years. You know, I've had people ask me, why do you call brothers at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning? You know, what do you get out of it? Well, I get to help a brother. I get to help Noah get his day started. I get to help Henry get his day started. I get to help Scott get his day started. I get to help Trevor get his day started. And then at night, when I call brothers and we sit there, we talk for an hour on end. Or I talk to Donald on Tuesdays. The biggest thing I get out of it is I feed because I'm talking to the brother, but they're feeding me too. We're giving each other what it takes to build this house so it's solid. Because without it, we're not going to have a solid community with God. It's impossible. And I've learned that over these 20 years that I've been out here. Last thing we're going to talk about is developing the character. We're going to talk about finishing up the house, wrapping everything up. And we're going to use David as an example. First thing we do is we identify weaknesses. Identifying weaknesses is about noticing patterns of anger, self-pity, or procrastination, and start there. You know, in Psalm 18, verses 1 through 6, David cried out, In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from the temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. You know, David consistently cried out to God for help, mercy, and deliverance. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to know what's going on. And we need to know what also is attacking our armor. We talked about in the core biblical principles, putting on the armor of God. What is attacking our spiritual armor? We need to be aware so that we can avoid those chinks in our armor. The next thing, acting on the truth. Acting on the truth involves letting your thoughts, words, and deeds align with God's word and the character of Christ. Psalms 16:11 says, "You made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." You know, David was consistently known for his character. You know, he was known to be after the man after God's heart, right? David was consistent. You know, what can you guys say about David? That you... like,
we get to see his relationship with God through whether it's the good or the bad or something else, because so much is recorded in the Psalms and in First Kings and Chronicles and such. I think we get to see him.
He was obedient.
Yes, he was obedient.
Even to this, it shows that for everybody around us that he's a weak person because he was so skinny and small, and you know, and then they always play the music. They never think that the faith that he had is very strong in the communication with God. You know, make him stronger because the faith.
He was real. You know, he trusted God enough to be who he was, wherever that was. And so if he was having bad moments, God knew him. And if he was having good moments, God knew him. And he maintained his relationship with God, and was able to receive, you know, correction in those times when he wasn't on the right track.
So that he could maintain that relationship. The last thing about developing character is seeking support from God. You know, seeking support involves testing your understanding and growing from God. Psalm 34:4 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." You know, seeking guidance, you know, David asked for direction as seen in 1 Samuel 30. You know, he even took refuge in God's presence when feeling alone or oppressed. You know, we've talked about what community was and what which is a unified body of individuals. So let's talk about an individual building community with God. What did you learn today about building community with God?
Yeah, it was close, kind of together with the previous question, one of the things that I have learned really from learn from David is just not letting shame keep me from confessing what I need to confess and be broken about the sin that I need to be broken about. Because without brokenness, there's no growth.
Right.
So you have to realize that you have hurt God. Whatever you did against, you know, somebody else or even yourself is against God. And that's what David was always showing me, is that the brokenness has to be real in order to be sort of like put back together. So everything, and never give up, regardless of what's going on. Never, ever give up, because God is there, and He will strengthen you. He will support you.
Yeah. I think, you know, core principles are really important. Mm-hmm. That you have common core principles.
I think you see three different levels here, the community with God. With Abraham, Abraham was just learning what it was to be like with God. God, he never knew. He was learning. I remember one of his great conversations with God when God was going to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. I remember Abraham was having this long conversation. You know, if there's 50 people there, we still destroy. You know, he's learning the dynamics of what it's like to talk to a father and see God's compassion that even though God really knew that, hey, this place is going to be destroyed, but I'm going to sit down and have a conversation about it. Even when Abraham lied, God did not retract his promise from Abraham. So you see this stage of building community with God that Abraham was going in. But then there's Jesus. Jesus already had a relationship with God. But he shows us that even though you've been with God a long time, you need to set time aside to spend with the Father. You need to set time aside to retreat and have that solitude place with God. That's another different level that I feel like I learned. It's like when you're a young Christian coming in, you're like, Abraham, I'm learning about God, I'm making mistakes, I'm tripping, I'm stumbling. But when you've been around for a while, it's like, you still need God. That's what Jesus shows. And then with David, God basically trained David. I think a lot of us would take issues with him because God trained David how to lead other men by training David how to lead animals, how to be shepherds of animals. If we were like, hey, your next leader is going to be some guy who shepherds animals, he's going to shepherd you, you're like, that's his experience. That's his experience? Well, I'm not a bear, I'm not a sheep, I mean, you know, but God used three different categories, three different people to show us how he builds community with him. Some guy who's trained in a field to be shepherd of animals. We're not animals, but God said he's qualified. Jesus, who's known God for a long time, a lot of us who've known God for a long time, but guess what Jesus said? But I still need my time with the Father. And then Abraham, I don't even know who you are, but sure, I'll follow you. Man, look, I'm going to keep this in my back pocket because I don't know if God will come through. So that's why I see building community with God, just these three different levels of God showing that you need me no matter what level you are at. You're always going to need.
Zoomer and I have been listening to a book called With, and the author, I don't even know his name, he's explaining or examining how people walk with God, that some people are walking and that they're living their life for God, or that just the opposite, there's people who owe everything comes from God. But what I'm learning is that with God, as where I need to be, whether I'm asking him for something or I'm trying to serve him, share my faith with whatever it is. It's the important part is about being with God. Mm-hmm. Everything else should spring from that.
And like I said before, everything starts with what I shared today. Because if you cannot build community with God, and the definition of building community was unified body of individuals. When we talk about Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. If you cannot be in community with God, the stuff that Donald's going to say, the stuff that Scott's going to say, the stuff that Cindy's going to say is all going to be irrelevant.
I think it's a great thing because, you know, when you talk about Abraham, you know, he had, you know, everything with him was a faith walk. He walked it out in faith, you know. It wasn't like, you know, he started out, he had a great relationship, but he walked it out in faith. And then we come over to Jesus, like Sidney was saying, you know, he already had all these things, he knew all these things, but, you know, there's a lesson here that, you know, we can learn, you know, where you talked about integrity, the generosity, the self-control, and the gratitude, you know. Even with Jesus, you know, just feeling the need that you are God in the flesh, but you felt the need that you needed to get away and to spend time with the Heavenly Father. And so, who are we to think that we need anything less than that? So, that's a great point right there. And moving on down to where you talked about developing character, you know, like we have to identify weaknesses, you know, so that even in my studies as a social worker, you know, when you start looking at your healing and progress, then you got to determine what your weakness is, what the issue is. And so I think all of this was really good, Richard, a very good lesson. I appreciate that.
Love your definition of community. If you were to think about it, it says community of individuals, is that correct?
Yes.
I think Jesus and I think Trinity is at the root of that. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They are community. They're individuals who work together. We have a great example of that. So.
And we have to be unified with them, otherwise, as individuals, otherwise, we can't branch out.
Exactly. So the Trinity set the example of what community looks like. Working together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think it's Jeremiah 29:11. You know, for another place I have for you. And yes, it does work for you similarly, you know, even faith. But that was specifically written to a community of survivors of exile. And so he was, yeah, it was a group of individuals that promise was given to. And I always think about, you know, the church. And how we hanging on to that promise together, not just individually, but as a community.
Well, amen. To God be the glory. And this time we're going to go ahead and pray.